Woof. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios on the corner of Trashview and Nata Vista. Please put on your 3D glasses now. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This keeps your brain at a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. And it's working. I can feel it. Can you feel it, John and Jeremy?
I think so.
Yeah, something's tingling.
And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. To learn more, go to BIPCOT.org. All right. And we're back. This is our Sunday, October 16th, 2017 episode of the Freedom Fiends. And I'm here with John Vibes and Jeremy Hengler.
That's
me. How you guys doing? How in the happy Halloween are you?
I can't complain that much, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Me? I can always complain. It's what I'm really, really good at. I'm alive. That's, you know, I guess that's what matters most, right? I think
absolutely.
Last time I was complaining about something, Michael said something along the, you know, you still got your health. And I'm like, yeah, that's debatable and whatever. All right, fine. I'll take that. But yeah, man, I'm dragging through life at this point. We were talking before the show about you know, the idea, or actually doing it, of distancing yourself from social media and how that could how that could change your outlook on life. I was mentioning that I've actually done that. I mean, we've talked about that a bunch on the show. That, you know, trying to, a lot of people, most of the hosts I've been on have talked about it in some capacity. You know, I need to get away for a while, need to pull back, and it's like, yeah, I've been doing that. I don't necessarily feel any happier, though, because I got all this other stuff going on. And so I'm not getting bogged down in social media, but I am still getting bogged down in life, which is, you know, depressing half the time. Outside of my kids. Although it was like partially depressing. One of my girls needs glasses already, and it's like, on one hand, it's like, oh, it's cute, you know, just like me. I was about that age. And then on the other hand, it's like, oh, that's just more money we got to throw at stuff. more thing to worry about. But yeah, I don't know. I've been keeping busy lately doing. You guys ever check out any of those like survey sites that like they pay you to do surveys?
And only briefly once. It seemed like you had to do a lot of surveys to make it worthwhile.
I tried it when I tried it with like Bitcoin stuff a while ago. It didn't work out too well, though. Yeah, it was when Bitcoin was like still like a couple hundred dollars to.
Yeah, I never got. I'm actually kicking myself because way back when it was like $500, I was gonna buy like a whole Bitcoin, and I never did, and it went up to like 700, and I thought, well, I'll wait till it goes back down to 500, and it never did.
Now it's I've said that 100 times since it's been like $6. It's like, oh, I'll wait till it goes back down again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we all go to that. I'm kicking myself that I didn't buy more when it was as low as it was at one point, you know.
Well, you know, my grandfather actually made a really good point to me this weekend when I was saying how I was like really bumming about how I missed out on like the initial investment opportunities, so to speak, even though it'll probably continue to go up. He said that I'm still like super ahead of the game because I'm actually familiar with it and know how to use it. And if it really does take off, then you know, people like us who have been using this for years will already be in a way better position, even if we aren't holding on to it, which actually did make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, that's true. I've been starting to look into the altcoins, and I do have Bitcoin Cash, and I'm looking into a bunch of altcoins. My roommate's already been diversified into like a dozen coins, and so we're learning how to use the different exchanges and wallets and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Derek picked up some Nexus for me this weekend while he was over here. That's the stuff where they had that conference in Aspen about a couple weeks ago. And they're shooting rockets up into space to shoot down free internet, and the guy used to work with like Elon Musk or something like that.
Yeah, I did hear about that. There's actually a Ripple conference going on starting today, actually. And there's supposed to be some sort of announcement. And of all people, Ben Bernanke is one of their key speakers. So who knows what the announcement is going to be about.
Well, isn't that the Fed coin?
Is yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, basically Ripple's... it is. It's the centralized trackable version, I guess you could say, yeah. And that's why the Fed, the financial institutions and the federal governments, they kind of like it because of that. So who knows? Maybe governments might start to adopt Ripple. We'll see.
Well, I saw that. I saw today in the news that Russia put out their own cryptocurrency called the crypto ruble or something like that.
I just saw that like an hour ago.
It was just after they banned all other cryptocurrencies, they put out their own. So it's interesting. Yeah, exactly. It's interesting to see. I think that's probably one of the first, at least majorly publicized countries that have done something like that. It'll be interesting to see who else follows suit, because that is the type of model that I would expect from government.
Exactly. And I think China might be the next one to do that, because they've already banned all the cryptos. And I know that they're buying up crypto and they're looking into something like Fedcoin. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, they definitely. Yeah, they crack. They're so far. We talked about that in the last show that I was on, I think, about how they cracked down on crypto there. But they're also the biggest miner in the world, I believe, of Bitcoin still. Right. probably a lot of the other altcoins too, but definitely of Bitcoin. They have the most amount of mining power comes directly from the Chinese government, so that's nice of them. So yeah, I could definitely see them doing that. And if they follow suit, then I could definitely see the U.S. going, well, you know, we already have this coin. And then Ripple probably will officially become Fedcoin at that point.
I'm thinking that could be the announcement that comes out this week.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I've stayed far away from Ripple to begin with. Once I heard the rumblings of the whole, you know, the whole Fedcoin type thing, and I was like, yeah, I do want to diversify, but I don't even need to get tangled up in that, so I'm not even going to bother.
Yeah, because who knows what, like, kind of, who knows if that stuff ain't even giving you a virus or something in your computer that might compromise, you know, whatever, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe. I'm not too technically.
I do have a little bit of experience with Ripple, and it seems like it's hard to actually find a Ripple wallet that you can use on your mobile right now. I think the best way to use Ripple is on one of the exchanges like Bittrex and stuff. So I kind of think that's pretty secure as far as your devices go.
Yeah, but I don't trust doing much on an exchange at all. So that's kind of.
Well, I wouldn't trust holding it on an exchange, but Bittrex itself has a, I don't know, I haven't used a lot of different exchanges yet, but it does seem like it has a lot of different currencies, and you can exchange them pretty much instantly between, you know, cryptos.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is where Derek picked up the Nexus. Like I said, I'm not too technically inclined, so a lot of that's over my head. I'm interested in the economic side of things. But yeah, I had to have somebody else actually go through the process of installing the wallet and all that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm definitely interested in the economic side of things too, especially because Bitcoin is still hovering between $5,500 and $6,000 currently.
Well, Bitcoin has a fork coming up. Two forks, actually.
Ethereum as well, which I thought was interesting. I thought
Well, Ethereum's already had the one major one that didn't go very well, from what I recall. Isn't the current Ethereum, wasn't that the basically the altcoin that was formed from the fork? Because right, Ethereum Classic is still a thing, right?
And that was Ethereum Classic is still a thing, but for some reason Ethereum, I think the new Ethereum is the new version,
yeah,
which is outperforming the old one.
Yeah, so in you know, for language that some people might understand more, it would be if Bitcoin Cash had supplanted Bitcoin instead of the way things have run so far.
What is the way things have run so far? I'm still not entirely clear on that.
Well, Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, when it first, when the fork first happened, or it's not, I've been told by a lot of people it wasn't actually officially a fork or what, I don't know, it's just essentially a new coin was created, and like
they basically cloned the blockchain, Bitcoin blockchain for a new altcoin.
I think it spiked, I think 700 was the highest it got, maybe a little higher than that. And it's bounced between like 500 and 250, I think, pretty
right.
much.
It's hovering around 300 right now, but Bitcoin is skyrocketing.
So if I were to go on to Coinbase or something like that, or wherever people buy, prefer to buy their Bitcoin, would there be an option to buy both, or would there only be one?
It depends on the exchange. I think most of them are dealing with it now, because even Coinbase, who originally said they weren't going to, they retreated within, I think, 2 or 3 days tops of the August 1st doomsday. And we're quickly like, because enough people complained that, especially once they saw that the price was going to start skyrocketing in a hurry for Bitcoin Cash, people were freaking out, and they were like, you technically have all those Bitcoin Cash that belong, some of that belongs to me. And they ended up saying that, we're going to look into it. And like less than a day later, they came out with an announcement. They were like, okay, we're going to go ahead and honor all that. So anybody who had money, anybody who had Bitcoin in our exchange is going to be able to access their Bitcoin Cash of the same value. So I know they're dealing with it now. I mean, I've talked about this a couple of times. I'm still waiting on the Jax Wallet team to finally get the Bitcoin Cash thing integrated. Because I may have mentioned this last week too. I don't even remember at this point. But with the Ethereum problem that I'm having, that I had too with that. Did I tell you that one?
I think you mentioned that off air. Yeah.
Yeah. There was an update. And so anyway, but we'll talk more about this and some other things when we get back from this trip to the market. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411, because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
And we're back. So we were talking all about the wonderful world of cryptos in the first segment, and I'm watching what we you get talking about, kicking yourself in the rear end for not buying more at some point. I'm desperately trying to cling to what I still have because the price keeps going up and up and up, and I'm like, if I can just hold on a little bit longer. But as I also started to mention the first segment, everything else around here is just constantly going wrong, it seems. So it's getting less and less likely that I'm going to be able to hold on to all of it. But the one thing I'd ask you guys about is if you had ever done those survey things, and that's actually how we got onto the whole conversation of cryptos. There's a bunch of different websites that do those type of things where they offer you to, basically you're doing research, you're doing, companies doing research for their product lines and stuff like that, will offer to pay
right,
for these, you know, for these things to be done. And yeah, a lot of them, you have to do a bunch of thing, you have to do a bunch of surveys in order to make it, I guess, quote unquote, worth it. But some of them have like these other, like, you know, different games and other things attached to it, and other ways you can, you know, just basically by, you know, there's a couple of them that do it by, like, if you watch videos, you can earn stuff too, and you don't actually have to watch them. You can just flip them on and walk away from the computer, and as long as it keeps playing, you get credit for that stuff too.
Ah,
so like, since I'm home a lot now that I only have those couple of clients I was still taking care of, you know, after I quote unquote officially closed the doors to my company. Right. Although I did have one guy show up frantically banging on my door. Actually, it was the night of the last show I did. I don't even know if I brought it up that night, but apparently he had lost my cell phone number, and I had shut off the business line because I had no need to pay for a landline anymore. Like, every time I mentioned the fact that I had a landline, people would laugh at me because, you know, most people do not have one anymore. But true. I had one for my business the entire time because, well, it just, you know, it just made sense that I had a I had a phone with a voice. You know, if I'm trying to look professional when I'm starting my company, that I'm not just, you know, having people call directly to my cell phone, because, you know, a dozen years ago, yeah, cell phones were big, but, you know, more people still had landlines, so it was more business-like to actually have a permanent fixed phone number somewhere, you know, that actually went to a physical location. But I obviously had no need for that anymore, so I got rid of that. And yeah. Now I totally forgot where I was going with that point. I have time now that I'm here, and I was taking care of that client. But this one guy called, who just came to my house and banged on my door because he couldn't get in touch with me because I didn't have that phone number anymore. So I picked that up, and then I have this one other pet sitter friend that I'm filling in for next week, which actually I think I already told Michael I won't be doing any shows next week because I have to be really, really early every day during the week, and I haven't had to do that in such a long time, and there's just no way I'm doing shows into the middle of the night, and then editing, and then trying to get up, you know, 4 hours later to go out and start doing my walks and stuff. But anyway, aside from these couple of busy weeks that I have going on here, usually I don't have that much going on because I'm, you know, constantly just trying to get voice work and auditioning for things and stuff like that, and doing the couple of walks that I have, and then hanging out with my kids when they're here. But when they're not, I have a lot of free time. So I figured, why the heck not? So I've been doing these things, and there's actually this other app that I found too, which is not necessarily survey related, but it's I think that one's called Field Agent, where you basically go out and do audits for companies, like it on location at stores, and, like, you know, you got to take pictures of products and answer questions and all this type of stuff, and or do secret shopper type stuff. And again, it pays, you know, it pays a couple of bucks here and there, but if you can manage to hit a bunch of them that are like, a, you know, in the same town or a couple towns away from each other, and especially for me, when I'm out running around already, I've been able to bounce from, you know, from stop to stop to stop and hit them all quickly. And so it's like, these are the type of things that I'm, like, filling my time with now since I have the time. And, like, unfortunately, it just doesn't make sense at all to even attempt to try to find an actual job while I'm still here. because I'm desperately trying to get out. The court case is still hanging over my head. And, you know, I'm not really ready to get a job. So these are the things I'm doing with my time, man. It's interesting. But, you know. I made like $100 or so this week just doing this silly stuff. It's not bad.
There you go.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Well,
woof, woof.
Freedom Fiends. And we're back. And in the last segment, I was talking about all the wonderful money I'm making. Sarcasm. But yeah, like, you know, basically my point was that, you know, if I have this free time anyway, and I'm around the house trying to get other things done, like, and I'm near my computer anyway, you know, taking a little time out to do these surveys and then like the other little things that go along with it. Or if I'm out and about during my day anyway, doing the couple of walks that I do, if I can fit in these other little things, you know, because other than that, like, I have plans to do some things that I would like to get to that, you know, could get me a lot more money, but they would involve investing a lot of time that I definitely know I wouldn't be making any money in the interim. And that's a problem right now. So I'm trying to balance that out. Yeah, because I've actually dabbled with the idea of writing a book at this point. Because I figure, why not? I might as well try to do something. I mean, I even went so far as to buy a used copy of Michael's $30 writing school, which I got, and it was wonderful because, you know, used to be $30 back in the day. Now I got it used for, I think, $8.95 free shipping, and the thing came to me, it was almost in like mint condition. Even the CD-ROM is still in the back of it, because, you know, this was put out back in 2003.
Ah, yeah.
And when I told Michael that I had bought it, the first thing he told me was like, all right, you can skip everything about the technology because, you know, that's obviously 14 years old. So forget about all that. Because I didn't realize how big the book was going to be. It's a pretty hefty book. But I have an idea about something that I've already checked and found that there aren't a lot of books on this subject, and it's something that I happen to know a lot about and feel that I could actually, you know, I'm not going to try to like make a bestseller or anything. I'm, you know, talking about self-producing, you know, self-publishing, that type of stuff. And maybe even just focusing even more on like a cheap Kindle version. But anyway, the point of that is I really would like to do that, but that's like a time commitment thing that I would have to, you know, block out all these other things, all these other little things I'm trying to do to make money along the way while I'm, you know, while I'm sitting around doing other things to try to make money.
Right.
And, cause I know myself, I get too easily distracted.
Same here.
Yeah. Which actually leads into this one article I found, and I actually found this, only like an hour before we were going to go on, but it actually fits in perfectly to this whole line of thought that I was having before the show anyway. And this comes from fee.org. And it's, I spent 2 days in the woods with no internet or cell phone service on purpose. which is something I think about often, although even when I've had the opportunity, I still couldn't restrain myself from checking in every once in a while when I had service. Like I remember that last year, even when I was at Porkfest, and I barely had cell phone service at all. You know, where because the service, was I using Ting? Yeah, because it was they used Ting, which uses the Sprint backbone, and like Sprint has no service up there at Rogers Campground. So like you would think I could have just like put the phone down and be like, okay, don't even worry about it. But I had to keep the phone on me, just because even though I wasn't getting like mobile data, I still could get text messages, and you know, in case my ex wanted to check in with me about the kids or stuff like that, let me know what was going on. I obviously needed to know, so I needed to keep the phone. And just having it with me, I still found myself like every once in a while just trying to check to see, and anytime I'd find that I had service, I would like just stand in the same spot for like an hour, just to get my fix. Because again, I know myself; it's just so easy for me to distract myself with these silly little things. And, you know, but anyway, so this article talks about is this guy Zachary Slayback, who said that he locked himself in the cabin in this forest, like 4 hours away from his house, which, you know, is one of those things. It's like you're not. It's far enough away that you can't just like turn around and run home really quick, if you need something. But it's also not far enough away where, you know, you're losing like a day or more in travel time, which will cut into any time you're going to do. Because he did this because he's actually trying to write a book, but he's trying to write it like a massive book. I'm not talking about doing anything on this scale. But he basically locked himself away for 2 days, and he talks about the fact that he gets so, you know, it's so easy for people to get distracted, you know, and talking about how, you know, he does it too. And it's like, you know, if you don't, you know, if you go through life, you know, a lot of times, especially if you're trying to get a lot of things done, with like a free spirit type attitude, it's pretty easy to fail because you can get so caught up when things pile up on you. And as boring and as rigid as it may sound, it's often a lot easier to have a schedule, you know, and actually try to keep yourself to it. That right. way you can't, you know, that way, you know, even going so far as to block out time for like leisure time and like relaxing time and like, you know, being able to do these things, because otherwise, you know, if you have, you know, whether you're writing a book or whether you're trying to start a business or whatever you're doing, and you have things like, you know, phone calls and messages you have to return, those type of things. I mean, I know that happens to me all the time. Like I hate responding to emails because I know once I do, I end up getting bogged down in them. And then these like string of emails go back and forth where it just like takes so much time up. And I would much rather have like a quick phone call to settle everything quickly where people can talk in real time back and forth, rather than going back and forth where things can be misinterpreted. And it just takes up more time. It's unfortunately the same thing happens with calls, because sometimes where I'd like to be able to do that, then people want to talk.
Man. I hate when it happens.
That's why I don't deal with the phone, because of that. Like, there are a couple people that insist on talking to me on the phone because they're like old school and stuff. But like, I can't even do it because people like to like small talk, and you know, at least with the computer you can multitask, but it's kind of harder on the phone.
Yeah. Well, my problem was that I got used to doing the phone thing only because of my line of work for so long, where I was constantly mobile, and I was either, you know, in my car driving around to different stops or at those stops walking around with the dogs. So emailing people, even texting people to a certain extent, was kind of difficult.
Yeah, understandable.
Because I would actually have to stop what I was doing and like stand still for a little while, or sit down for a little while, not go anywhere to actually write these things out and have these conversations. And I, you know, I've been walking around with one set or another of, you know, of wireless Bluetooth headphones for years now, and I've just gotten so used to doing like the majority of my business on the phone, because I can talk while and that's how I multitask, because
that makes sense.
I can do other things like that while I'm doing that, but it does run me into those. It does run the risk of me having those, you know, long winded conversations that I'd rather not have, but I kind of feel bad about, because again, with my line of work, how I deal with my customers and stuff, it's like, you know, especially if they're asking me questions, and they have, you know, questions or concerns about their animals and stuff, and or asking my advice, which I've always given away, which I had always given away freely. So I now always I always felt bad about cutting people off if I wasn't actually doing anything, like if I wasn't dealing with my kids or doing anything like really severe at the time. Like, oh, I could talk for a while, sure, no big deal. But then you lose like 20 minutes, half an hour, and it's like, oh, what other things could have I been doing in that time frame?
Yeah, I was one of the last few people to actually get a smartphone. So I was like one of the landline guys for a long time, and I didn't understand why a lot of smartphone people didn't like to talk on the phone. Well, now that I am you know, have now that I have a chromed robot turd, I've become one of those people who does not like to use the phone. I prefer to text now.
Yeah, well, I you know, now that I'm not working as much, when I'm, you know, when I'm able to, I definitely prefer to text, you know, most things. But again, usually just text messages of some sort, or, you know, Telegram or Signal, whatever I'm doing. But still, most of the time, unless I'm driving, I prefer to text it, because I can still have like a kind of sort of one-way conversation at that point.
Yeah,
I could just throw exactly what I have to say out there, and I don't really have to pay attention. But yeah, but that's, you know, these are all little things that, again, just eat up so much time, I know, for myself. So when I read this article earlier, I was like, wow, maybe this is what I'm actually going to have to do. Maybe I'm going to have to go lock myself away somewhere, you know. Because, I mean, he goes on to talk about the fact that he, you know, when he was looking for a place to, you know, when he was scouting out where he was going to go do this, because he had this plan, he's like, all right, I'm going to go lock myself away for a couple of days because I want to get, I think it was like 40-something thousand words done, or 45,000 words done or something, that he had this plan that he wanted to get, he needed to get this much done. And he figured the only way he could do that is getting away from, you know, actually getting away from civilization for a while. So one of the criteria for the places he was looking for specifically was that it had no Wi-Fi service. So, like, make sure it was that remote. Because he said, and as soon as I read it, this struck a chord with me too, you know, the fact that he couldn't trust himself. Because it's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to go lock myself in my cabin and I'll only keep the phone for like emergency calls, or if like something happens, obviously, or if somebody, you know, like my family member or whatever, desperately needs to get in touch with me. You know, that's one thing. But I'm just going to leave it there and I'll just focus on my work or whatever. But, you know, he seemed to know himself too well, and I would have the same problem. I don't know about you guys, but if I went to go do that and I still was able to get a connection of mobile data to any extent, I know I would just be like, oh, if I need a little break, all right, fine. I could just check Facebook for like a minute. I can just read a couple of emails, you know.
Yeah, I'm the
and
same
then
way.
6 hours later, you know, I'm exhausted. I've got, you know, a page done on my book, and I've wasted an entire day.
Yeah, that's why I deleted the Facebook app this week.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Meow.
Meow. And we're back. And as we were rolling into the last break, John, you said that you had actually done this. You went ahead and straight up deleted the app, so you don't even use it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I kept the Messenger around so I could still keep up with my work and stuff, because a lot of the sites I write for, I get stories and stuff from the editors. But you know, my biggest issue is I get on there and I look through the news feed and I get frustrated with, you know, the debates and the opinions, and then I got trolls in my comments, and that's the biggest thing. And especially with now, with like I'm trying to, you know, change my life in more positive ways. I'm getting through this cancer thing. I can't be, like, stressed out all the time. And, you know, I think it's been about 4 days now since I took it out. And after the first day, my wife came home and noticeably she was like, "You are in an awesome mood. This is crazy." And it really, I have noticed a big difference. And I've been getting a lot of work done on the next book I'm writing, just like we were talking about in the last break. I thought it was really ironic. And I think I'm on the right path with this, and I don't think I'm turning back. I think I'm going to turn Facebook into more of a one-way conversation to promote my work, because that's really the only reason why I was ever there to begin with. And then I tell myself in the morning, I'll be like, "Oh, yeah, I'm just going to get on there and do a little bit of work." And then I get sucked into the hole, you know? And that is what I got to avoid doing. I still can put my work out on there and do that, but I can't even, like you were saying earlier, I can't even trust myself to look at the feed or to scroll through just a tiny little bit, because then I'll just dive right in. Or even if I look at one comment or one notification, it ends up being, you know, a 10-hour bloodbath. So I'm pretty happy about avoiding that. And I saw another article, actually, that the inventor of the like button had to do the same thing. He had to take Facebook off his phone because he thought that it was, like, you know, causing problems and that he was addicted to it.
Yeah, you sent us that right before the show. And that, yeah, I laughed when I saw that. What does he say? He fears the psychological effects apps are having on people around the world. And, yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, it's a time suck, and you see how many people get so invested in this. You know, if you ever travel to any of, like, the debate groups on any subject.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, mostly the political ones, but, like, from every angle, like, you get all these groups, and if you actually just, if you you don't even have to participate. You just have to sit there and read, and you see so many people that seem to have so much invested, because you see, like, comment after comment after comment after comment from these people back and forth and engaged, you know, in these long things. I mean, I used to do it too, but, you know, it takes a hold of a lot of people, and it's hard to break away from. I mean, I find I was joking about this recently, but the more I think about it, it's actually seems pretty apt, because I've been doing the two things side by side recently, and I can see the similarities. It's almost as hard for me to not pick up my phone just to look at something when I'm bored for a second or two, as it was for me to not pick up a cigarette when I was just, like, bored, you know, like,
yeah,
it's almost exactly. Like that crazy. It's like the oral fixation, but instead it's like with my hands. It's like this physical, like this addiction I have of just, like, scrolling just to, like, fill time. That it's really hard for me to break, which is why, like I said, that fee article, for me, that's what I think I would have to do to actually get serious about a lot of these things, is actually make sure I have no possibility to connect, at least for a couple of days, just so I would be forced to focus on my work, you know, whatever the thing I was, whatever, you know, planning to do, whether it's this book or, so, you know, something else, because, you know, I know myself too well. It's so easy for me to get distracted.
I can't wait to read your books, both of you.
Well, yeah.
It's going to be a while for me. Well, it's going to be pretty crazy, I'll tell you that. It's going to be like the Cash Newman story, kind of.
Nice. Mine'll be nowhere near that cool, but it'll probably be ready in less than 6 months if I go through with this, but we shall see. Anyway, we're going to head off to the break, and we will return in the next hour. Worms.
Petunia. music for the drive to Alpha Centauri. Petunia's influences are Gary Numan, Brian Eno, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, Robert Fripp, Blondie, Kraftwerk, and Dead Kennedys. Petunia's styles are trip-hop, rock, pop, glam, industrial, ambient, jazz, and space. Plus, it's got cats and is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. You can download Biptunia's music free. Go to biptunia.com. That's B-I-P-T-U-N-I-A. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha. Biptunia.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite Lead Pair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by BIPCOT No Government License. This allows for use by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Worms.
Worms indeed. So we are back for the second hour. I am Jeremy, joined tonight by Shane and John. What's up, guys? How you holding up?
What up?
Still here.
Well, that's good. I'm glad we all made it through.
Right.
Made it through the market.
Yeah. Spent a lot of time in the first hour talking about Bitcoin and then trying to distance ourselves from social media, which I still have to really work on doing. It's been hard enough for me not to have Facebook open on my laptop while I'm doing a show. I used to get distracted by that too. Like that's when I knew I had to stop. It was like among all the other tabs I had open, you know, the lovely web-based show clock that James Babb left for us, and all the other, you know, all the other articles and stuff we have up. I would have Facebook up too, and if I wasn't careful, if I'd scroll through there and start, you know, just like, you know, start lurking around. All of a sudden, people are like, oh, segment's almost over. Probably should have been paying attention to what's going on.
Yeah.
Especially,
that's one thing I don't do.
Yeah. Well, like I said, man, it's a horrible addiction. I don't know. So.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it's created all these echo chambers, like, where, you know, we can get along with, like, you know, our Trump-voting grandfathers and our, like, liberal friends from high school and stuff, or at least most of us can, but, like, when it comes to the internet, everything's taken to, you know, blows. It's crazy.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
So, anyway, well, you know, yeah, and like you were saying, like, people get caught up in their echo chambers and stuff, and, you know, and obviously a lot of their focus, you know, because I had mentioned in the last hour, you know, if you go to any of these groups and stuff, you notice people that you can tell that are very invested because they spend a lot of time there when they could be doing all these other things, which, you know, kind of brings us to, would bring us to a story that I think this is one of the ones, Shane, I think you shared this with me, the one about the anarchists taking on the drug industry.
Oh yeah.
Here's a story of what you could be doing instead of spending all that time on Facebook or other social media sites and wasting away. Although we're going to get into the story, I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the stuff that, especially where this guy comes from necessarily. I mean, he's being called an anarchist in the story, but we'll get to that in a second. But you know, I guess good intentions maybe kind of count here.
Well, yeah,
to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so yeah, the headline for this was, and this comes from, what is this, statnews.com? Yeah, from statnews.com. And the headline is, "An anarchist takes on the drug industry by teaching patients to make their own meds." which, you know, right off the bat could sound very scary or dangerous. And according to the article, to some extent may actually be, but the idea of this, because this guy who's called an anarchist, and in the very first paragraph, I noticed the problem right away when the very first sentence starts off, "The anarchist grew animated as he explained his plan to subvert a pillar of global capitalism by teaching the poor to make their own medicines. Pharmaceutical industry patents be damned." Okay,
that's not real capitalism.
Exactly. So,
the way he's describing things, his grammar's off, but his heart's in the right place.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. Good intentions perhaps, but you know, he definitely seems to be confused about a little things. And yeah, I think his grammar being off is a great way to put it, John, because he obviously has very different definitions for things, especially capitalism. I think the author of this article may have a very different, very different definition of the word anarchist than I do, perhaps.
Right.
Shortly thereafter, you find out. I think it's a couple paragraphs later, you find out that you know this is a very well-dressed guy, but who has an Antifa pin affixed to his suit at all times.
Weren't you wearing an Antifa shirt at one point, according to the quote-unquote media?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. There was numerous news stations that news sites that quote-unquote news sites that ran articles that all claimed that I was wearing an Antifa shirt because I had a giant golden A.
Right
on my shirt.
I do get the impression that
free the market and the state.
Yeah, I do get the impression that this is on the part of the writer that he interprets it in such a way because he probably has a certain view of anarchism, which is not necessarily accurate. And like you said, this guy's a well-dressed guy who's actually selling these kits. So, you know, it's a very capitalist thing to do. You know, so I doubt he's actually truly anti-capitalist, and this could be on the part of the writer.
That's interesting because I didn't even think of that, and it's funny that you brought that up about what happened to me because that didn't even cross my mind. I just like the term anarchist. I assume that the writer may be confused about, but then as I read on, like when I saw the Antifa thing, and then I read a couple other things, it seemed to me that actually was likely. Without actually having the proof of seeing the pin or not, I just blindly went, "Oh yeah, he seems like he's definitely more commie than anything else. He's more, if he's an anarchist, he's an ancom. So Antifa is not that far off, So I didn't even question it. But it's funny.
I did want to actually see the pin for myself because as soon as they said, he was wearing an Antifa pin, and I was looking for the picture of him wearing it and didn't see it. I thought, well, what if it was just like an Anarchy A? Or something, and they interpreted that to mean Antifa.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't even bother to investigate that further. I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't even think of that. Look at I completely overlooked that, which is funny considering what happened to me. You would think I would go, I would question that a little further.
According to the media in your local area, like one might be led to believe that you're an Antifa supporter when you're actually not.
Yeah. I screwed up a little bit there. I probably should have been a little more. I should have thought a little more critically about that. Thank you for pointing that out, Shane. So this guy is out there trying to create, and he actually started with. He's the one who came out with plans for a do-it-yourself EpiPencil after the whole thing went down. Was that last year with the
EpiPens?
Well,
that's pretty cool. I mean, at least it's a positive solution and not like, let's rob people through taxes and give everybody free EpiPens.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely a step in the right direction. But, a lot, like I said, because this article is kind of lengthy, so we're obviously not going to read the whole thing. But the a couple of things that he says, like quotes, you know, there are quotes that he's, you know, the things that he's being quoted on that, again, to me seem to lead a little bit more to me to believe that he does have more communist type tendencies. But
which could be,
you know, but, you know, the other downside is that there's no actual record of anybody actually using his stuff successfully. And he even admits it at some point, but he basically says he's not going to stop. And there's some quote unquote experts that are cited throughout the article that all make mention of this and the fact that, you know, it's great that he wants to do this, which, again, I think it's great that he wants to try to provide an alternative, especially when you have things like, you know, because there was the problem with the EpiPens, wasn't it? It was like a year or two ago where the prices kind of skyrocketed for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, and there always seems to be the threat of that in the pharmaceutical industry. And there's, you know, people are always worried about that. And, you know, you never know when patents and intellectual property and all that silliness gets in the way. What people can do, and what they're allowed to do is by the government. So yeah, I think it's great that this guy wants to go out there and do this, and he's you know, basically trying to build, you know, show people how to build all these things themselves. Although, according to the article, there was a couple of groups that took on the task of testing these things out and like basically doing YouTube videos about it, and they were, you know, pointing out a lot of the mechanical flaws in it and stuff like that. So he doesn't have things quite locked down, but he's, you know, he's out there doing it, which I think is great. And I, you know, I, again, regardless of where he falls economically, to me, I think I just think the idea of trying to take on the bigger businesses, because whether you want to call it erroneously call that capitalism, but if you're attacking anybody who is involved in like the crony capitalism stuff that goes on with, like, you know, the big pharma, the big this, the big that, you know, big ag, right, all that stuff, you know, more power to you.
Yeah, and if we can zoom out from the individual dude a little bit, looking at the situation, like you said, with people critiquing the model design and the problems with how it was manufactured on YouTube and stuff, that's a pretty good example of the market at work, because I'm sure that there are a lot of people who are going to read that article and ones like it and be inspired to kind of do the same kind of thing, and they might have a different kind of background and they might be a little bit, you know, more well-read and stuff, and they may also be able to look at those YouTube videos and see the design flaws and correct them. Maybe even the people who made the YouTube videos would be capable of that. So I just wanted to point that out, looking at that situation, something that I noticed.
I know that's an excellent point. Yeah, absolutely. You know, hey, I see where you went wrong. We could do this much, but we could do this much, much better. Watch, hold my beer. Watch this. and yeah, absolutely. The market at work. It's a beautiful thing.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Woof, woof.
Yeah, we're back. And, next, you had a story you wanted to share with us, Shane, right about normally one that would normally, you know, start to warm my heart because it's about dogs, but being abused as far as I'm concerned and being used in horrible, horrible ways.
This is a story from ABC, actually ABC 6, which I don't know where that's from, but it says, the headline is, Ohio gets canine trained to sniff out electronic devices. And originally, this article starts off talking about, you know, a dog that's trained to sniff out electronics, and he can detect even the slightest faint, you know, of electronic devices. And its purpose was supposed to be for child pornography. But my immediate thought, you know, after that was, well, okay, if he's trained to, you know, search these things out, how well would he be able to find, say, like a hardware wallet or something like that? I kind of wonder if perhaps this type of canine training could actually be, you know, redirected towards, you know, hardware wallets and things like that. Because I don't think go ahead.
Can we back up a minute and figure out, sure, like, how a dog can sniff what is on the hard drive, like, to detect child porn?
No.
It's not a matter of what's on it. It's finding the physical drives, like the thumb drives, and
Do they connect that? Oh, because the thumb drives, because people with that are doing sketchy things on computers might hide thumb drives, is the theory.
Yeah,
right. I see. Okay.
Basically, this is one of those things that you could totally see being sold with, like, the original intent being, yeah, if we, like, find one, like, in a safe somewhere of somebody who's being accused of this, or, like, hidden in the walls somewhere, like, obviously, gotcha, if it's hidden like that, you're going to assume that it's something they don't want other people to see. So if the dog finds that, you know, basically just trying to extend the whole probable cause thing. But I think Shane, you're definitely onto something. But that's, you know, that's government for you. Anything that could be used for supposed good can definitely be twisted really quickly, especially because how vague laws are usually written for a very important and express purpose, which is, you know, to be able to change them as necessary.
Right. I mean, I'd like to think that child porn is not a big enough deal to actually, you know, train these, you know, canines to be sniffing out these electronics. So, I mean, hopefully it's not that big of a problem that, you know, that's why these exist. But
I think it's used as a scapegoat or an excuse in a lot of ways, because it's something so horrible that if you just throw that out there, people will be like, oh, anything to stop the perverts, you know?
Right, exactly. That seems like the perfect excuse for going after devices, especially hidden devices, which, I mean, my first thought was, oh, well, what if you're trying to hide your hardware wallet when you're, you know, going somewhere, you know, and if they crack down on, you know, bitcoins or cryptocurrencies, that would probably be the next thing they go after.
Yeah, which means, you know, virtually nowhere is safe.
Right.
Which is a shame, but it's the reality. But, you know, yeah, just the fact that if they're going to use these type of methods now, you know, that just means the people on the other side will be figuring out how to get around it soon enough.
That's true.
They're always one step ahead.
I just find this so insane, because I look around the room I'm in right now, and, you know, I have dozens of electronic devices, and I'm not even that much of a tech person. So we're surrounded by electronic devices. It's ubiquitous. So how do you have, like, a dog, like, sniff something out? It's like training them to sniff out, like, drugs in a coca field or something, you know? It's interesting. it's really interesting.
Right. Well, I mean, they can be... I've seen it done, and I've done it myself to a certain extent. Train dogs to track certain things, and you know, certain breeds, it's amazing what they really can do, and what the, you know, if treated honestly, at least, which is the way I've seen. Although I've seen, when it comes to, you know, the police and the government in general handling dogs, they don't necessarily do it honestly, because, you know, how many times have police gotten caught in videos where you see the dog react, but it's because the officer, like, pounded on the hood or the part of the car, and the dog goes, rawr, rawr. Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
So we're back, and there's a story that John sent us, and said that he actually wrote about, and on its face it may not seem like much to people, but of course there's a much deeper issue behind this. But it's all about poor Melissa Etheridge getting, who has a very, well, she looks kind of cheery in her mugshot. Because she was busted for drugs, her and Todd Rundgren both pinched, separate events,
trying in the same place.
Yeah, trying to cross the U.S. Canadian border in North Dakota.
Exactly. And to make the story even more interesting, it was cannabis oil that she uses to treat, the continuing after effects of the rough chemotherapy that she went through after the cancer battle. I think it was close to 10 years ago now, maybe even longer, but that's something that stays with you for life. And I mean, I know I have cancer. I plan to be on cannabis oil for the rest of my life, just like a maintenance dose. To both deal with the after effects and because it's been proven to keep cancer away as well. So, right. And now, I mean, it's legal where she lives in California. So I'm guessing she probably has a medical card. And even in North Dakota, the legislature has, passed measures to start setting up a medical marijuana program, but the politicians have been dragging their feet and everything. And similar things have been going on where I live in Maryland. So, like, I could get a medical card, but none of the dispensaries are open, and they were supposed to be like a year ago. So for me, that isn't really like a big deal, but a square who hasn't been buying weed for 10 years and stuff, you know, like, they are in a big problem, they have a big problem, and they're forced onto the black market, which sometimes, you know, there's a lot of issues there. Sometimes it could be dangerous, sometimes they could get ripped off, sometimes they might have to go to parts of town that, they wouldn't want to go to otherwise. But anyway, this actually happened in August, but it didn't really break until TMZ published the story yesterday, interestingly enough.
Wow. Yeah, look at that. Yeah. August I missed that the first go around. August, I saw that August 17th. Yeah. But almost 2 months ago, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty crazy, but she even wrote an article for some kind of cannabis advocacy website. It was sometime this year. I think it might have even been as soon as a month ago, actually. Let me take a look. But anyway, she said that she continues to use cannabis to treat lasting gastrointestinal effects of the chemo and to help her get a good night's sleep. So she had just said in an article, yes, this was September 28th, 2017. Okay, so this might have been after she got busted. Never mind. But regardless, it's obvious that she's a medical patient, and even if she isn't, she owns her own body. She can do what she wants with it. Still, though, I think just all the fine print nonsense here, the fact that it is legal in some places and that it's even legal in the place, it's soon to be legal in the place that she got arrested, but just since certain papers haven't been signed yet and certain things haven't been in order yet, a bunch of people had the right to put her in a cage, and that's just crazy.
Yeah, that and that just proves the like complete insanity of this entire process when you have a situation like that, that it's literally just like, you know, clerical errors or just people dragging their feet, essentially, that's holding this up at this point, that they could still bust people in that timeline. Like, you know, whenever people talk about, you know, how there are, you know, when they want to try to tell us that there are only a couple of bad cops, the other ones are really all good, it's like, well, no, look what they're doing. Yeah, why would they not just be turning their cheek, you know, turning the other cheek and just saying, oh, nope, sorry, you know, didn't see anything or whatever, you know, because they know that it's about to pass. Like, why would they bother risking having somebody fall into the cracks like that? Because if the law continues to be held up and say, like, they decided to charge her with something more serious than what they did, because they just charged her with possession. You know,
exactly.
They may charge her with that, but you know how the DA loves to, you know, well, I know, especially because of my own case, how the DA loves to tack on charges, you know, anything. Most possession cases, the DA is like dying to be able to attach, you know, intent to distribute on top of that.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, this exact situation is a concern for me. Maybe not crossing the border, but, you know, I've been cooped up in my house for 3 years dealing with this cancer thing. And when I get this port taken out and I'm done with this treatment, me and my wife are going to go on a trip across the country. And I'm going to need my medicine. You know what I'm saying? So, there are many of the states we're going to be going through are legal. They're going to honor my card and everything. But, you know, there are going to be a few states in the South, especially, that I'm going to try to get through pretty quickly because of things like this.
Yeah, yeah. Probably should stay out of Wyoming, too.
Well, this is going to be in the winter, so I'm not going to be able to get anywhere up there. I'm not even going to mess around with that. I'm going to stick to where the weather is nice. I'm going to drive straight down from here.
Good plan.
Yeah. Maybe North Dakota is trying to generate this revenue while they still can.
It seems
by busting people crossing the border.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's a big thing for them. And I always hear that happening, especially with musicians' tour buses. Like, I hear of that happening frequently. They must see them coming from a mile away and get all the dogs out.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know, that's just horrible because, you know, you have to figure out of every tour bus you come seeing, good chance, you know, one out of every one is carrying is carrying some kind of quantity of some kind of multiple kinds of drugs. It's like fish in a barrel for them, which is horrible.
Have you ever the weird side thing that probably isn't even relevant, you ever heard of that Festival Express thing they did in the 60s where they put, like, Janis Joplin and the Grateful Dead and all these, like, people on a train and, like, just threw all these drugs and booze on there, and they took them from festival to festival to festival, and this promoter just lined it up, and they have video of it, and they put it on some DVD.
I heard about it. I thought it was a myth.
No, I saw it a week or two ago, and it's crazy.
Yeah. Wow, I was not aware of that.
Yeah, it's like that would never happen today, and just like those are the things, like I probably have an over romanticized view of the 60s and stuff, and like wish that I was alive because of stuff like that.
I definitely do as well. I'm right there with you.
Worms.
Yeah.
No doubt. Sorry for taking it. I just thought that was so cool, and I'd definitely recommend anybody checking that out. I'm pretty sure it's called Festival Express.
Huh. I have to look that up. Yeah, sounds interesting. But yeah, so like I said at the beginning, like to some people this may not seem like a big thing because, you know, if, you know, with a possession charge, you may not even get much. But just the fact that people are harassed because they're crossing these, you know, imaginary lines.
Yeah, and the other thing is that jails are not, you know, aside, okay, so if you just get arrested once and you don't go into prison, you're just in a holding cell. So you may not be exposed to the crazy violence that takes place in the jail. But those places are extremely dirty. And if you're a sickly person with a disease like cancer and you still have a compromised immune system, because chemo could shoot your immune system for years, that's putting your life at risk. And, you know, some to throw people into dungeons like that is extremely careless, especially people who are sick.
Yeah, because if you've ever been on that side of things, and unfortunately been on that side of things, you know how slow they are about doing anything. So once you're in their clutches, you know, it even just to get processed, the initial processing usually takes forever. I mean, heck, just, you know, not even talking about drugs, you know, just talking about my situation. I was in the precinct for, after I was picked up and kept in front of my house for a good 20 minutes before they finally took me away. I was kept in the precinct either waiting around and or answering questions for at least 3 or 4, at least 3 hours, maybe 4, before I was transferred to county for the night.
Both times that I was arrested for possession, and it was small, it was a gram of weed each time, they had kept me in there for 10 hours at least each time.
Jeez.
So, and yeah, that was just in a holding cell with, like, no food, you know, no water, really, I don't think, except for, like, the nasty water fountain that's attached to the toilet, you know what I mean? Like...
so they'll keep you in there, and, you know, like plenty of situations, you know, on top of all that, then, you know, then you're kept, you know, overnight before you even go to see, a lot of times before you even get to go to see a judge. And if you ask for anything in that time, you're even less likely to get it than once you actually get put in jail. And you know, because everything is, oh, you know, your files being made, it's being transferred already. Oh, they need this hold up. So, yeah, if you have any condition, they're not going to listen to you.
Yeah, and usually they give you more grief if you are making their job more difficult in any way. So, you know, if you complain about anything, even if it's a legitimate medical condition that you have, they're going to maybe even take longer with you, or ignore you more, or be even more spiteful with you. And I've witnessed that happen with people who actually did have very serious medical conditions.
Wow. Yeah. Unfortunately, happens way too often. And all for a little revenue and control.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
I don't think any of us have any redemption really for tonight, which is kind of a bummer. But well, John already gave us his. He got himself off Facebook, and he's doing much, much better now. Hopefully, I can follow suit. So, yeah, we may not have any redemption. I guess I may have another
story I see is kind of like has a hook to it. You know what I mean? It has.
We're gonna go with another R word then for the final segment tonight. I don't have a redemption, but I have a, I guess I have a remembrance. I don't remember if I mentioned this on last week's show. I think I mentioned it to you before the show, Shane. But I found out like shortly before the show last Sunday that my grandmother had passed away, which was kind of weird for me because she's somebody who I probably had a closer relationship with anybody else, you know, than most other people in my family. Even though she was an interesting woman because. She was loved by everybody because she was just always there. Basically, she was always there to listen. And, you know, my mom and my aunts and uncles and, like, you know, her family and my grandfather's family and then everybody's friends and just random people that ended up knowing the family would come just to, you know, stop by to talk to her. But she was, you know, and she was very caring, and she was very open. But she had this weird thing about not telling people that she loved them. So it just was kind of fitting that I ended up being closer with her. But it was more so because she didn't. She would never pull punches, and she wouldn't sugarcoat things as so many other people would. Which is probably why I was drawn to her more than most other people in my family. But it was kind of weird when I got the news because I've essentially been estranged from my entire side of the family for the most part ever since everything happened back in May because. You know, my mom, one of my sisters, and a couple of other people pretty much outright disowned me after everything happened. Before I got arrested too, like in the interim, but before the, between the initial thing and then like, you know, like 5 days later, me getting arrested.
Right.
And I think my mom and my sister had already disowned me before that. And then a couple other people did too, and only a couple of people even reached out to me at all. I haven't even heard from basically anyone since then. I think I actually spoke to my grandmother once after that, and it was basically like it didn't go very well because, again, like because she was always so you know, didn't pull her punches, you know, didn't pull punches, was very blunt with me. I was always, you know, very blunt with her in return. And I'm pretty sure I got heated with her, which is a shame because it ended up being our last conversation. But it was just like this weird thing. Like, I found out only a couple days beforehand from my sister that she was in the hospital and things had gotten bad. And the doctors were saying she, you know, she probably has 3 months at this point. And we were all getting, you know, we were getting ready to get my, you know, my kids, and we were going to go try to see her like the next day. And then, like, you know, well, a couple days later, we were going to go see her like the next day. And then I got the news that's, you know, last Sunday night. So I never got a chance to say anything else to her. And then because of the situation with my family, I couldn't bring myself to go to the wake or the funeral because, well, I just could not stand to be around these people who pretty much deserted me.
I can relate, man.
So it's a shame, but, you know, I'm going to remember the woman in my own way. So Dolores, you know, she was a great lady, and despite the rocky ending to things between me and her, I will remember you always, Nana. You're one of the only people who stuck by me no matter what, even when I was borderline certifiable back in my younger years. one of the fondest things I'll always remember about her is she knew what the smell of cannabis was when my own mother did not, but she also kept a bong in her front window that one of my uncle's friends had given her as a joke. And she never realized what it was. And that thing sat there for 30 years until my sister and I found it. So, one of the great contradictions of that woman, but she will be missed. Worms.